Welcome to the Eagle's Nest Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this recent message.
Well, good morning, everybody. I have a tendency to get ahead of myself, so thank you for giving me a minute to get my notes together. You guys, how many of you guys are excited to be here? Amen. I've got a lot of scriptures today, so you guys, do me a favor. Before we start, we're going to pray, but you know what, you guys, if you don't have a Bible in your hands right now, there's a Bible in front of you, and I'd like you to get your Bible open this morning. If you have a pen and a paper, get that ready as well. We're going to be in, most of the day, we're going to be in the book of Matthew and Ephesians, and then we're going to get to one of the reasons I'm here today is the Principles of Church Life book. You guys, you know what? I want to encourage you guys before I start. I love reading other people's word on God. It helps to ground me. It helps to discipline me. It brings me good news and knowledge that I may not have to start with before I had it. So, you guys, I want to encourage you. After today, you guys, Tim, I bought my new book. Because my other one, I've been through this class, I think, 6 times now. But you guys, I want to encourage you. This class starts in 2 weeks. I will be there with you in the morning, every Sunday morning. The way that I did this book, it took me about a year to get through this. This, to me, there's answers in the back. But it was a product that God used for me, a tool that God used for me to get me into His Word. And I don't know about you guys, but every time I would read a chapter or a topic, it would lead me to another topic and to another verse, and it would begin to expand my wisdom and knowledge in the Lord. I can't tell you enough. We can never stop learning. And you guys, to be united with your church, there's so much value to be reading the same material that the other members of the body are reading. Why? Well, so that we can encourage one another. If God's speaking a word, I believe, like a month ago, my pastor, "Hey, Clark, I've got a wedding coming up. Could you speak?" "Yeah, absolutely." And he shared with me what he wanted me to speak on. And so I believe that the lesson today is out of the book 23. It's local commitment to the church, to your local church. So you guys, you know what? In my reading throughout the week, we're going to get to this today. But you know what? God had some other things in mind, because you guys, for me to sit up here and to read this or to go through this lesson, that's not the goal. The goal is to stir up the Word of God, to stir up your faith so that you would take this home and dive into it, open up God's Word, and start to take that Word apart and own it for yourself. That's the goal. The lessons downstairs, they'll be about 45 minutes, and I guarantee it, they'll be anointed. But if you really want to see growth, take this book home, open your Bible, set it there in the morning, set it there in the afternoon, set it there at night, and start dividing God's Word correctly, you and Him. And then when you come, you'll have something to bring on that Sunday, you know, for the other people that are there. Amen? I got a couple amens. Woo! I've got some students in the house, and that's all right. Because you guys, you know what? We're all at different, you know, I'm 53. I just turned 53 the other day. So we're at different parts. Amen? And so for those of you today that are new, that were just baptized, you guys, you know what? This is absolutely the time to get hooked up and to start learning more about God. Because you guys, again, what you did was significant in receiving the Lord, with getting baptized. But you guys, don't be fooled. The enemy is real. He's got one purpose: kill, steal, destroy. Any work of God. If you've got one of these on your finger, the enemy wants to take you out. If you've got kids, the enemy wants to take them out of God's perfect will. So the only way that we can fight those things, you guys, because again, I've been there, and that's another story, But it's not by my words that you're set free. It's by the words of Jesus Christ that we have and move and have that authority in our daily lives. That's where the Lord wants us, so that we can be singing praises and glory to Him all day long through every trial and tribulation. Amen? Thank you, Dale. Well, again, to make it personal, you guys, if we're coming to church just because, God today wants to ignite a flame in you that'll never go out. He wants to make it personal. He's talking about me. Like that last song that we sang about us. Man, I was taking that. I took us out and I started. It was me. It's about me. You guys, it really is. It's about you. God wants you to sing that victory over your life in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I thank you for your grace, Lord. I thank you for the word, Lord. I thank you for the direction and the guidance of the Holy Spirit today, Lord. Lord, I thank you that Psalm 119:18 says to open, Lord, open my eyes so that I can see the wonders and the beautiful testimonies of your word to me in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said, we're going to be doing a lot of reading today. You guys, I have a new property that the Lord really blessed me with. And again, that's another story. But I wanted to share this before we started, you guys. That's an oak tree. And this is a whole carton of acorns. And I did some studying over the years on acorns. And how many of you guys know that we are a church planted by God by streams of living water? The Bible says that we are supposed to be growing oaks, trees of righteousness that are planted by springs of water. So you guys, for the new members, for anybody that's not been in a covenant with this church, I believe there's 8 of you here today that are going to take one of these oak trees home today. We're not going to go out and plant it today. You're actually going to take home, and you're going to care for it until spring. And then we're going to plant it in the new season. Somebody told me this morning what 8 stands for. I believe it's new beginnings. See, you guys, what God put on my heart to planting them at first, I'm so passionate about God's love. I want to go out and plant them today. Then as I started to read his word and let it get into me, he said, he just slowed me down. He said, Clark, no, it's about making disciples. It's about learning about true commitment. It's about learning to come under authority. It's about learning to obey the people that God has put in your lives. So what are we going to do? We're going to take home the oak tree. We're going to take home the acorn. We're going to care for it, and we're going to plant it in spring, and you're going to be firmly planted that whatever may come, because it will come, nothing will be able to shake you from the love of God and take you out of his arms in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, I'm with you. That was powerful worship this morning. If you guys want to open your Bibles to Matthew, you guys, sometimes when I was be teaching the youth group, God would always show me what he wanted for the kids, and I would always share with them how I got there and what I was doing. So in my normal study time with the Lord, I have a system. My system is Old Testament first, then it's the Psalms, then it's the Proverbs, and then it's the New Testament. And that system I borrowed from a man who's all known all around the world. His name is Billy Graham. And when I started reading in Matthew last week, I was reading in Matthew 9, and I kept reading in Leviticus, I kept reading in the Psalms, I kept reading in the Proverbs, but I never left Matthew 9. So you guys, I want to read that with you before we start this morning. Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralytic lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." As some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But so that you may know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralytic, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." I'm going to come back to that in a minute. The calling of Matthew. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. I can see him smiling. He said, "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they asked the disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And on hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but I have come to call sinners." You guys, those stories pretty much were back to back. And I wanna add what I saw in there. You guys, I was once a sinner. I was blind, but now I see. You guys, are you okay with saying that? Say it with me. I was blind, but now I see. You guys, because if we don't think like that, through our whole walks with the Lord, all of a sudden complacency sets in. All of a sudden observations, consciousness of who we are sets in. You guys, you know what? God wants us to be Christ-conscious, not self-conscious. And when we are that, we can battle anything that would come our way. I love it when he said, "Follow me," to Matthew. He chose instantly to respond to those words of spirit and life. Matthew was blown away. He would go and call all of his buddies and throw a dinner party for Jesus. Follow me, come unto me, abide in me. God, these are things, you guys, that I say to myself often. I just wrote a couple of them down. And order my steps, and I will follow. You guys, this is a conclusion on my opening remarks, and then we're going to get into our study. However you may have arrived here today, a friend's invitation, father or mother's invitation, pastor's invitation, or the invitation by the Holy Spirit, Jesus sees the faith of those who brought you here today. He is speaking to you right now. He is saying, "You guys, you know what? Take heart. Your sins have been taken care of at the cross. Don't ever look back. Keep moving forward." And so that we may know Jesus has authority to forgive sins on earth, he said to the paralytic, "Get up, take up your mat, and go home." Powerful words. You guys, because you see, sometimes we think of the man in the Bible with a sin problem, and he's been paralyzed. You guys, you know what? That's you and I. There's a sin problem that if we don't leave at the cross it leaves us paralyzed. And we don't move forward in the kingdom. You may be a believer, you may believe what the Bible says, but you have no authority. You're not speaking in authority, you're not speaking in victory, you're not walking in victory. So your life, what just happens? Day by day by day, life just goes on and nothing is changing. You guys, again, I believe what we're here for is a church filled with the Spirit. Rivers of living water are flowing out of us. And it's not just us. It's supposed to be flowing downriver to anybody that we would touch. We're supposed to make that Dead Sea come alive in Jesus' name. Amen? All right, the first step in the process of an everlasting healing is the forgiveness of sin. Have we all taken care of that? Come on. I heard some yeses. Come on, you guys. Amen. Meeting Jesus face to face and believing on him. You guys, you know what? The friends, they may have gotten him there, but this was so cool to me. His friends' faith didn't heal him. His faith healed him. He believed what Jesus said about him. He picked up his mat and he walked, and he didn't let his sins of his past. You guys, Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. I don't know what goes through your mind when you guys hear that, but you guys, you know what? Jesus is saying to us, our sins, they are forgiven. If anybody's reminding you of them, I want to guarantee you, it is not God. It is the devil. It is the very adversary of your being. He wants to paralyze you. He wants to keep us where we're at, not speaking in victory, always being critical, always seeing things, you know, just an opposite way of the kingdom. So, again, it's to engage the body. It's to stir up the body. It's to start a flame, Timothy said. The flame, you guys, you know what? It's burning. Yeah, amen. So the forgiveness of his sins and his healing to walk, any form is crippling to the life of a person. It will get in the way of what Jesus has for us. You guys, are you okay with when I say that? Do you understand that sin will paralyze you? You might be going to heaven, but if you're thinking in that realm, you're paralyzed. If you're, you know what? When Tim and I talk, or when my boys and I talk, or my even Brian and I, you know what, you guys? We get real with one another. I don't have a lot of people that I do it with, but I have a few. We need to get real with God, with a prayer partner, and walk out our salvation. And you guys, the only way to do it, it's through his word. So, again, I appreciate you working with me. So in my notes, I've got, how do we move forward? First thing first, it's by believing, right? It's having faith. We sang a song today, by faith. We see our miracle. Second, amen, by confessing. You guys, you know what? I want these oak trees. I got thousands of these. Bob invited me to his house. I know I wanted to actually get over to Kieran Stewart's and Wendy and Mitchie's because those guys have got maple seedlings. So you guys, I want to add a little maple syrup to our oak forest. Because it beautifies it. But you guys, you know what? Like a tithe, God gets into action. By showing up, that's action. By believing, that's action. By bringing a friend who's paralyzed because whatever life has done, he can't move. And I am so thankful that I have had friends that have brought me out of a paralyzed position and brought me to the Lord so I could see and I could hear and I could be strengthened. And like I told Tim the other day, we were at the party, and he came and sat behind me. And I said, Tim, I said, I don't want you sitting behind me. I want you sitting beside me. You've got a family that is strong in the Lord, strong in power, strong and mighty. Moses had his hands raised, and that battle was won by the end of the day. It took a full day, but that battle was won. Do not kid yourself. Women, you need friends, women friends that'll hold up your arms. Men, you ask Justin. They don't send them out to battle one at a time. It's a team. We need a team. And I'm thankful. You guys, again, this whole thing, I believe so strongly in the Word of God and the God in my life, but being committed and staying strong in the Lord and staying resilient in the Lord, it'll bring a victory in your lives. Thank you, Desiree. It'll bring a victory in your lives that'll produce fruit that will remain. I watered those plants a lot. So did God. So again, our message today is local church commitment. And again, I'm not going to get through the whole thing. Actually, my goal wasn't to get through the whole thing. I wanted to start a flame in you. I paid for my book already. Pastor Tim is probably going to have to order more. There's about 10 other books up here. You guys, I would love for every single one of these books, every single one of those acorns, every single one of those acorn trees to be gone by the end of the service. If you want to come right up now and get one so that you can have one, I would do that if I were you. But I didn't finish. How do we move forward? By believing. By confessing Jesus is Lord. I love it. I love it when Pastor Tim, thank you, Father. Uh-oh, they're running. Come on. So you guys, you know what? And this is why you need a pastor to speak over your life. Because when I heard the man that I love say, I've made the Lord over my successes, but I've also made him the Lord over my failures. What does that do? It helps me see that if my pastor's doing that, I need to do that. I want to walk in a church where we're moving forward. The third thing, you guys, Keely, come on, let's grow some oak trees together. She's one of my alums. I should say the churches and the Lord's. I had the privilege and honor. But you guys, the third step is repenting. You guys, you know what? Repenting, can we just talk about it for a minute? I promise we're going to get to the message. So I heard a word. It, you know what? In some churches, it's like saying I'm sorry. You know, I believe it to mean one thing. I really believe it's to become Christ-centered. And when you've done something that you're not supposed to do, give it to God. Become Christ-centered. I heard a word years ago by that minister in Asia. The Greek word for repentant is metaneo. And it means that we're supposed to change the way that we think. Why? Well, because we're natural. When we think we do something wrong, it takes us out of the will of God. That's the enemy. It's absolutely opposite of what God is saying and trying to do. He's saying, no, you are a child of God. You are an heir to the throne. Your sins have been bought and paid for by the atonement of his son's blood. We just sang about it. Believe it. Apply it to our lives daily, and we can walk in victory. Amen? Amen. But you guys, this is where Tim and I were talking a little this morning. And I added a fourth thing to moving forward, which was pretty easy. And I'm getting ahead of myself. And I know that there's a Packer game today, and I got about 15 minutes left, and we're going to start the lesson soon. Every covenant that God ordained had the basis and idea of commitment everywhere around it. Everywhere around it. In our church, in a church, God, you're not here by accident. I'm not here by an accident. Again, that's another story. Your story is a beautiful story. However you got here today, it's your story. But if you're saying that it's God that planted you here, yeah, God might move you. I don't know. I don't know how that works. I gave my son-in-law an oak tree, and again, I'm a pretty passionate guy, when he was married, and I literally ripped it out of my ground. It was about 8 feet tall, and they were married, and I couldn't believe it. By the time I got it over to him, you know, there was really nothing left of the tree, and I said, Stuart, I said, this isn't supposed to work this way, but give it a shot, and I know Stu's faith. He's a man of faith, and that land, he's claimed it for the Lord. He stuck that tree in a old rocky area in the back of his yard. You guys, that tree is thriving.
Thank you,
Lord. Let's learn to be committed. Let's learn, yeah, let's learn to start speaking encouragement, whatever is uplifting in the body. Let's speak and dwell on those things. All of that other stuff, you guys, it's of no value. Jesus said in the book of John that the words that I speak are spirit and they are life. I can guarantee you, if we start recognizing that in our lives, you will start to see a change in the atmosphere in your home, the atmosphere in your work, the atmosphere with your Marine buddies. I don't care where you are. You could be in the toughest of the toughest groups. God will get in and move on those people, and they will be changed forever. And that, you guys, is the fourth. It's being committed. If you're planted, so I said that, yes, a tree can be transplanted. And I've seen it. If you're transplanted here right now, that oak is you. That's growing and thriving in the back of Stuart's yard. I was with his dad, and Stuart was there. Stuart was, hey, Dad, the tree's doing pretty good. Tim doesn't say much. Well, it is, but probably be a good idea if you went back there and pruned all that other junk out of its way so that it can grow to be its fullest in its time. So you guys, you know, we come to church to learn of Him. We come to church to be pruned by the Word of God. We come to be watered. We come to be fertilized. Sometimes, you guys, you know what? We come to be tilled. And sometimes tilling, it's like maybe hard ground. And maybe it is hard. But that's when we get back to God, face to face, have that conversation, get back into His Word. Like I did, I read hundreds of verses for this message today. And you know what? Again, it's because of this. I read every single verse in chapter 23, and then it led me to other verses. So am I speaking as a lesson, or am I speaking like Jesus, where it's spirit, and it's going to bring life to whoever would hear it in Jesus' name? Amen. So I said I was going to teach the lesson. She laughs. She knows me. Do me a favor, you guys, because you guys, go to Ephesians, if you could, please. Even though my words are encouraging, it's the words of God that are eternal, not mine. And what I do know of His Word, God's Word, you guys, will never, ever return void. So I wanted to speak this over us. This is it's Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, Paul the apostle, So I put my name in there, Clark, the apostle. Again, I do it all the time just to make me build myself up. To the saints at Eagles Nest Church, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. And under my Bible, it says spiritual blessings in Christ. Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Christ Jesus, in accordance with his good pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times which have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and earth together under one head, even Christ. I have a bookmark to stop right there. So what we just talked about right there could take weeks and months of teaching. But the reason I wanted to read that, number one, it's God's word, and it's where I've been soaking in, and I haven't been able to get rid of it. I love the book of Ephesians. For me, it's life. So I want to keep going. This is the prayer that Paul speaks. You guys, have you ever, I don't know if I'm weird, but have you ever seen Paul writing to the people? Have you ever received one of these letters like it was written to you specifically? This past year, before I spoke, the last time I spoke in June or July, God gave me a glimpse, probably because of he loves me, and he wanted me to see Paul. And I got to be honest with you, I just read a book about Patmos, but God showed me Paul writing. God showed me Paul going back and forth in a room, and he wanted to pen what he wrote so that it would be clearly understood to us. So you guys, that's how I love to read. Like the disciples, it was so intense, and they spent so much time. Like maybe you writing a love letter to somebody. You write the first thought, and you keep going with it. Maybe you just, you know, crumple it up and throw it away because it wasn't really exactly what you wanted to say. You guys, this is exactly what God wants to say to you right now. So when you get home tonight, what's your book? Ephesians. Yeah, they're getting it. Probably my youth group saying that. All right. 1:15, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you. That's our pastor and his wife over us. That's me and myself over you guys. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may get to know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomprehensible great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and he seated him at the right hand of his heavenly realms, far above the rule and authority, the power of the dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is the body. You guys say that myth with me. This is the church. I am a part of the body. vitally hooked up in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, amen. All right. I was talking to the to my prayer warriors this morning about momentum. It's one of the words that God gave me earlier in the week as I was preparing. You guys, the momentum that God's moving right now, He wants you, He's giving you the baton, it says in Timothy, to carry it. So momentum can go both ways, right? Don't lose the momentum that the Holy Spirit is giving us this morning. Move forward in the things that God has for us. You guys, if it's this book and if it's reading daily, tear it apart. If it's reading a little bit before bed, there's five more books up here, you guys. Those should be gone. Amen. All right. I better get to the lesson. Thank you, Jesus. I got 5 minutes. But again, you guys, you know what? Because when I started to think about commitment, I don't know all of you, but commitment, that was the key for today's lesson. It's not about His commitment to us. It's about your commitment to Him, where He has planted you in a local church that loves people, that doesn't want to see you go through anything that we don't have to. Get hooked up. Become personal. What I would do if I were you, because I did it to my pastor last year on his birthday, I had nothing to give the man. Nothing. Only God can reward. But I gave him acorns. And I said, let's keep building. Let's keep growing acorns together. If I were you, that man should have a whole pocket of acorns. You can take one of mine. Come up and give him an acorn. And you keep a handful of them as well. But let's grow strong together. I believe there's a reason why God used acorns or oak trees in the Bible. It was because of their hardiness. It was because there's so many different types of oak trees that grow in so many variable types of soil and conditions. They can grow in, there's an oak tree for almost every condition. You guys, you know what? I don't know your condition, but God does. Like giving a tithe. Take an acorn. It's something simple, but to God, it's huge. Back in the day, the guys built altars as a memorial to what God, Jacob, saw angels ascending and descending. He put rocks there. Why? It wasn't God would be glorified because of it. It's so that he would never, ever forget what God did to him on that day. Right there. You guys, you know what? Be committed. That is the lesson in and of itself. Local church. I want to read, I'm just going to, this is right out of the book. You guys, in my other book that I had the purpose of this, if you have your books, you could open it. It's chapter 23. The purpose of this lesson is to help us, the believers, see the need to be committed, to actively involve in a specific local church if they are to realize their full potential in Christ. Become mature in their personal growth and development and find full release and expression in the ministry that God has given them by Christ. The key verse, which I love, again, it's back to Ephesians. Now, therefore, if you guys know this, say it with me. Or if you want to go to Ephesians 2:19 and 22, I'll wait. Because again, you guys, as we declare the glory of God, it'll fill our inner man and build us up. Say it with me. Now, therefore, we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself, being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, say fitly, framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. If I could just, I'm going to just go through a few of these since I was teaching on the local church commitment. We really got through what does the word commitment mean. The word, it's adhere, cleave, be attached, join oneself closely, or to stick to the side of another. In what areas does God teach commitment? God wants us to be committed, firmly attached, and joined closely to Himself. God wants everyone to be committed to the Word of God as a foundation for our life. Lowell, there's your Psalm 119:31. Lowell blessed me with a psalm this morning. God wants husband and wives to be bound together closely in strong covenant relationship. God wants believers in Christ to be committed to one to each other in the body of Christ. Amen. There's almost three parts. I'm just going to go fast and then we'll close. The church is a temple composed of living stones. Say, I'm a living stone. I want to be used and built together for the house of God, fitly framed together. We don't have to read that again. Also, the church is a body composed of individual members that are interlocked and vitally linked to each other. That also is in Ephesians. The church is a family made up of many brothers and sisters, and that also is in Ephesians and Galatians. Each member of the family that has responsibility to watch and care for other members of the family to see others fulfilled and growing in the relationship in their Heavenly Father. Amen. Well, you guys, it is 11:30. I wanna finish. You know, can we rise? Can we stand up? You guys, I'm serious about the books. I'm serious about God's Word. But there's five more books up here. Make a commitment to the Lord. I'd come up and grab one of these books. As for the acorns, you guys, if you're not a tree guy, I can help you with that. Do me a favor. Act on the word that God gave the teacher for the day and watch what God will do with the growing of your own personal relationship with Him in Jesus' name. Father, I release us in Jesus' name. I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you for the power and the strength that we prayed for in the beginning of the message. I thank you for the wisdom and the revelation, Lord, of those words that went out to encourage, to stir up, to be committed by folks out there saying, you know what, that's me. One of those eight, that's absolutely me. I'm going to take that oak home, and I'm going to take care of it for until spring, and then I'm going to plant it on one of the new lands. And you guys, you know what? Father, I thank you for the new lands that you've given this church. So I was talking to one of my sisters this morning. Well, Clark, I don't have a real good place to plant that. Well, you guys, you know what? I believe that problem's been settled. Go talk to your pastor. I believe our church now has a farm and a promised land. And you guys, you know what? There's a river of living water that'll flow through there, and we've got plenty of room for oaks to grow and produce fruit in Jesus' name. So, Father, I thank you for the planting of the oaks in our lives. I thank you for the multiplicity of the brothers and the sisters and the leaders and the elders that you're raising up in this place in Jesus' name. I thank you for the word, Lord, the word, the spirit, and the word that is bringing life to anybody, Lord, just like the friends that brought in the paralyzed man. Lord, his sin paralyzed him. Father, I just release that in Jesus' name, that the perilous be set free. No more wheelchairs, no more sorrowful, no more pride, no more critiquing, no more nothing. Anything by the grace of God has been covered when we give it to God in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I love you guys very much. Pastor Tim, if you have any closing remarks. You guys, I love my pastor, and I know you guys know that.
Thank you. Thank you for that fresh word from the Lord. If the Lord's stirring in your heart right now, as Clark prayed, I want to invite you just to come up here. If you'd like someone to agree with you, and just invite my elders, we want to pray with you. We're excited that you're here. I'm excited to be here. I felt the Lord stirring in Sharon's invitation to give, and Jesus demonstrated generosity by giving his life blood. So we want to bless you and stand with you in prayer. I felt the Lord, if you'd like to come and just pray with us, we want to pray with you as we dismiss. Thank you, Jesus. I had your words up, Clark. You move forward by someone else sometimes moving you forward. Mm-hmm. Those people brought that man. Then you move forward by believing. You move forward by confessing. You move forward by following, of course, Jesus. And following Jesus is going to lead to a life moving you forward by obedience. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Well, you come if the Lord's stirring, and we want to bless you and agree.
Thanks for listening to this recent message. Please visit eaglesnestchurch.net for more information.